Lila. Welcome to Hell or High Ranch Water.
All right.
Cheers.
Cheers.
A little ranch water without Topo Chico.
I'm rolling Perrier tonight. Feeling mighty fine about it. It is February.
It is.
And this is the month of love. Do you celebrate Valentine's Day?
I think it's a stupid holiday.
Oh, you're one of those people. Okay, I love Valentine's Day. No, fine. You can go.
No,
ahead.
No. That's way more interesting that you love it. Go on. Tell me more.
I feel like when I was little, my mom would always like give us Valentine's gifts, like fun stuff. And,
like what?
And cute candy and like a cute card and like, you know, little things. It's just like a sweet little, like you never expected Valentine's gifts, but, and I get things for my kids, although now my daughter's asking for like an expensive dress, but it's like a pink dress with like flowers. It's very Valentine's.
See, now that you say this, remember, I wasn't allowed to have candy.
Oh, what did you do when you were at school and they did the Valentine's party?
Well, I didn't like it. I didn't like the candy. I liked the cookies.
Okay. I'm not allowed to have candy and I don't like it is different than I'm not allowed to have candy and I do like it. You'd never liked candy?
I mean, so I don't like the gummy candies. I don't like, you know, anything that's sour. The candies that I like were Snickers.
Okay.
Or M&Ms.
Yeah, less popular Valentine's candies.
Right. Correct.
Okay. So did they give out cookies at the Valentine's party?
All of a sudden, I'm remembering elementary school, and there was some
like the heart shape. Yeah. It's like frosted.
Like somebody's mom made.
One year at work, we had this theme going on that was send love, ship love. It was ship love because at Facebook, we all needed to be reminded to like do loving things for our users. Like the code we shipped need to like help people and be nice. And it's this huge thing. And I sat up all night one night, like making these amazing Valentine's cards with like the glitter and the glue. And like, they were so beautiful. And they said ship love. And I brought them to work. And I just love an excuse to do like some fun, loving expressions.
In New York, my New York boyfriend would send flowers to the trading floor on Valentine's Day, like an obscene amount, because he knew it would embarrass me.
Like how many?
When I was like, oh God, here. In the first year, I mean, I turned beet red, and everyone thought it was hilarious. And he also was in the finance, sales, and trading world, and people told him how embarrassed I was. He's like, oh, I'm doing
this more
every year. Yeah. But I mean, I've got some memorable Valentine's Day. The one I just told you about, which was pretty funny. So I actually got dumped on Valentine's Day. We didn't live in the same place. And he sent me a Valentine's Day card, like an actual card.
How long had you been together?
Like 6 months.
That's not nothing. How old were you?
This was not that long ago.
Okay, you were an adult.
I was an adult. I was living in Texas.
And you've been dating for 6 months. And like, was it like a casual? Like,
well, no, like, it was like very intentional. Like at this age, if you're going to date someone, it's like pretty on purpose.
You were exclusive.
Oh, very much so. Like, you know, he would come hang out with my family.
Okay. Like,
yeah. And anyway, so it was a Valentine's Day card. I had gotten that day in the mail a bunch of Valentine's Day cards from all of my, you know, godchildren and kids who made notes. And I literally took a picture of all of them, like the envelopes, and put it on Instagram. I was like, oh, feeling so loved. And then I, you know, I opened them one by one and I left his for last because,
yeah,
you know.
Save the best for last.
Yeah. And it was a like a Dear John letter in an actual Valentine's Day card.
Okay. Wait. I
must have saved this. What, I hope I saved this.
What did it say?
Oh, God. I'm going to have to go back and there's got to be a photo of this that exists.
Okay.
Because I sent this around to my friends. I was like, someone, like, is this really happening? And then he was on a ski trip and it was like a boys' ski trip. So he called that night, like the usual, like, check-in. And I was like, I got your card. So it was like the preamble to a breakup. So he was after the ski trip, he was flying back to Houston to break up with me in person.
But he
had already like done the preamble.
Okay, I'm sorry. What did it say? It was like, I love you, but not like that. Or like, you should be loved more or by someone else. Or I don't love you. And I remembered that because it's Valentine's Day. Like, what was the gist of it? Like, what does a preamble to a breakup look like?
I need to find this. I don't remember.
All right.
Okay, I have found the text. Or I found a photo that I clearly texted.
No, no, no. You found a photo of the card that you were sent.
Correct. Unfortunately, it's not the front of the card because it was very clearly a Valentine's Day card. You can see there's like pink-ish, different shades of pink.
I understand. What does the pre-written text say?
The pre-written text says, "Hope your heart is happy all day long!" Exclamation point. Fine.
Going well so far?
The handwritten part, which actually is in cursive, which is interesting. "Dear Lila, happy Valentine's Day!" Exclamation point. "You gave me much to think about the other night. All fair and thoughtful. I will be using my mountain time this week to figure out where I am emotionally. XO, Dan."
Okay. That wasn't an "I'm breaking up with you" exactly, but what's the context? "You gave me much to think about the other night."
I don't remember the conversation, but I'm sure it was something very benign that he took to me.
So
not.
It was a preamble.
It was the preamble.
To the breakup.
Yes.
Were you devastated?
I was very confused.
Understandably. So what prevented you from picking up the phone and calling him right that moment and being like, "Hi, I got your card."
Because I had to consult my kitchen cabinet first.
Oh. And find out what it meant.
Am I being crazy here? Which the fact that I probably found this from my buddy Fat Rick, he's always, you know, the guy who I go to on these. Well, he's in my inner top five, so I go to him all things. Sure. Good? Or did you want more?
No, I don't know that I want any more on this. I mean, I just, do we need to find out how the rest of the break, like, did he ever explain why he felt it was appropriate to tease you with a breakup in a Valentine's card? Like, it would be cool to tease you in a Valentine's card with, like, "Looking forward to spending many more years together. Can't wait for our upcoming trip together to France."
I forgot about
this.
Where
I'm going to propose, but I'm not telling you right now, right?
So when he called that night, I said, "So I got your card." Correct. Was like talking about like things as everything was normal. He's like, "Oh, yeah. So the first card I got, I spilled coffee on. So I had to then go buy another card." I'm like, That's what we're talking about here? It was very bizarre.
And then what did he say?
I basically called him out.
Okay, good.
And I was
glad we got here.
Yeah.
And what did he say?
And I said, "Are you breaking up with me in a Valentine's Day card?" He's like, "Well, I really wanted to do it in person." Like, all of this was said.
How about all these people who, like, really wanted to do it in person?
But then why send the card?
Yeah. Did he have an answer to that?
No, whatever. It was, you know, that's fair. That's fair. I told him he was being a pussy.
Oof. No man likes to hear those words.
Oh, it's true.
Well, he was being like halfway, right? It's not like he was like, "Roses are red, violets are blue. I hope you love this card.
I'm uncertain about you."
Yeah. Or, "I no longer love you." Right? That would be like, "All right, balls to the wall, buddy."
Not meant to be.
Okay, on to the next, right? Well, I like Valentine's Day. I like love. This is actually an episode about love. But we also want to tell you something that we've been talking about, but like haven't explicitly said as we've developed the podcast, because it sounds a little intense, but I think we've just come to terms with the fact that that is, in fact, who we are. And that is
intense people.
In fact, what we're doing. Yes. And the theme of this podcast is ruthless execution across every aspect of life. So when we talk to you about relationships, we're talking about how we are ruthlessly executing as we are going into them and out of them, intentionality. Ruthless execution is something that we have obviously applied in our work lives, in our family lives, our personal lives. So if you want to know what this is about, you now know it's about ruthlessly executing.
And I think part of it's because we've had dumpster fires.
Oh, yeah. Well,
we have a lot of life experience.
All right. I'm going to say this again another time, but I'm going to say it to you now for the first time, which is that execution is everything. And the importance of execution is that you cannot test your strategy if you do not have perfect execution against it, right? So like in the context of your marriage, You will never know whether that was the right or wrong person for you if you did not execute well on the task of being a great spouse and like building a great marriage. So like execution is so important. I mean, it may have been a strategically poor partnership choice, but if you execute poorly, you won't know whether it was a bad choice or you just had crappy execution. And this is true in all aspects of life. So we both ask ourselves every day as we are like executing against a strategy, like how is my execution? And this can be on the level of like, am I doing a great job cooking this chicken? Mm-hmm. All the way to like, is my career on the right overall trajectory? So anyway, that's the backdrop. And do you want to say something?
Well, the only thing, because I mean, someone called us today, and I think that we probably both get this a lot, you much more so than I do, of like, how do you do it all? Like, you have so much going on, and the only way is through ruthless execution.
I mean, I don't always ruthlessly execute, but when I do, I have great days, mostly. Anyway, we think it's a little bit funny that we are introducing this ruthless execution overall theme in the context.
We keep getting asked, what is your podcast about?
We do. So we had to tell you, but we're telling you on perhaps the most counterintuitive episode of all, which is about love. Because love is something people like fall into and something people think that they feel. It's not really something people think about ruthlessly executing against as like a strategy and as a goal. But Lila and I have found that in our successful relationships,
right. We
are actually actively loving people. You've probably heard, if you've ever been to any kind of church group in your life, that love is a verb. We are subscribers to that philosophy. And we're going to share a little bit about how that all goes down.
And we're still getting better. I mean, it's like the 1% better every day at it. Like, it's, again, very intentional.
Oh, no. Yeah, clearly, it's a lifelong journey, ruthless execution across your life. But something Lila told me recently that she does when she has new hires at her job, like, really struck me in the context of love and the way we go through our lives.
Yep.
And I was hoping that you would share it with folks.
This was at my last job. So I was building a team, and it started, you know, very small team. So it was easy to do this. I think it's harder now when you're in a big organization. Scaling is always hard, right? But on the first day of someone's first day, I would write them a handwritten note telling them I'm so glad that they're here and that I think they're a total rock star and I believe in them, right? Four most powerful words in the English language.
I believe in you.
I would bring them a breakfast taco or, you know, something like that. I would give them a high five or a hug. And you can't really do that in certain contexts. What else would I do?
This was pre-COVID.
This was very pre-COVID. BC. I would spend the whole day with them in the training process. I would block my whole calendar to do nothing but sit with them. Eventually, it became the whole training process. And
would you do something for them?
I would like, hey, I'm going to go get a LaCroix. Do you want one?
Or a coffee or whatever. Yeah.
So okay. I would do that throughout the day.
Okay.
And at the end of the day, I would ask them, have you ever done the love languages test? And they're like, no, I've heard of it. Blah, blah, blah. Like, let's do it together. And so I would sit and pretend like I hadn't taken the test before. And I would take the test again and they would as well. I mean, just go and Google and do 5 love languages test. And it was really interesting for them because they're thinking about their relationship with their spouse or their children or their friends and family. And it was helpful for me in the context of if someone ranked really high on gifts. Oh, that was the other gifts.
Like the I would give
them swag from our company, right?
Okay,
on their first day. So they had this. So if they were high on gifts, I would figure out something super small, usually something they ate, you know, using the Snickers bar analogy. I would always bring them a Snickers or bring them a small thing. For people, it was quality time. I would spend more time with them, words of affirmation. I would try and go out of my way to actually speak that to them.
Okay, so two things. One, which we need to circle back to, it is not intuitive to everybody that they need to think about love languages in the context of work. But two, you've just introduced to us this concept of the 5 love languages. What are the 5 love languages?
Quality time, words of affirmation, touch, gifts, and acts of service.
All right. And everybody has a love language. It could be, though, different, right? The love language that the language you speak when you are giving love.
Correct.
And the language you speak when you are receiving love.
Yep.
It's a book written by Gary Chapman. A whole book on this, if you want to read it, right?
Yeah. Oh, no, for sure.
For sure.
Interesting. Like,
or
literally
you can just Google it.
Just went to my phone, and the last person I was texting is one of my godbrothers who was the person who taught me about this book.
Ah, okay.
And so he demanded that our whole family read this book because it was eye-opening because he spoke a completely different language than his mother. So he is really high in quality time, as am I, which is why me flying out to visit him is so important to him. And us, like, we're very deliberate with our quality time. But his mom is way off the charts gifts. So when he would fly home to spend time with his parents, his mom was out shopping looking like the perfect barber jacket for him. And he's like, I don't care about the barber jacket. I just want to spend time with you. And that was a really eye-opening thing. So then I took it and encouraged other people in our family to take it. And it just helped with communicating in general. So like my mom's super high on gifts. It doesn't really matter what the gift is.
She just likes to know someone's thinking of her.
Right. And it's also the, you know, is gifts important to her because she grew up really poor? Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, I think about this a lot, not only in the context of like, you know, how I give and receive love to my partner or even my friends, but like with children. So there's actually a 5 love languages of children,
yeah.
A whole book with like a whole separate philosophy. But it's hard as a mom, not hard, but if you want to be intentional as a mom, you figure out what the love languages of your children are.
You did this recently.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of am always like reflecting on what's going on.
Oh, well, I remember you got I got a text from you talking about Wills.
What did I say?
I don't know. I can't search Will.
No.
I don't remember.
Oh, yeah. That would turn up a lot of things. No, I think, I don't remember what I was saying that in that time, at that time, but there are definitely times when I thought I was like the mom with the barber jacket. Like I thought I was really loving on my kids, but it was like falling on kind of, you know,
deaf
the
ears.
Proverbial deaf ears, because that isn't how they receive love. And I remember there were times when I would go on a business trip and I would bring back the girls like some like little teddy bears or something Will like didn't want. And it was just like a thing and I grabbed, you know, and I would not get him something, but be like, you know, let's go get an ice cream or something. And he was like, you didn't think of me when you were gone. Like, I remember mm-hmm. him saying that to me. And I was like, and that's like, people sometimes ask me, they're like, what are your love languages? And I think a lot of people just, they're like, oh, all of them. I love all of those things. They all sound
wonderful. I've heard
right?
you say that.
I'm like, all of them. But if you really want to know what your love languages are, one way to find out is to think about times when you felt unloved and why. I know that one of mine is definitely quality time. And if you ask me, like, do you like quality time? I'm like, yeah, doesn't everybody love quality time? It's not something that I'm like, oh, I'm just craving some quality time. But if I think about times when I've really had my feelings hurt, it's when someone didn't prioritize spending time with me, right? I wouldn't care if they, like, didn't give me a gift. You know, like, oh, why haven't you been dropping gifts by, right? Like, I love gifts. But I'm not going to miss them the same way I'm going to miss somebody prioritizing spending time with me. And in terms of like how I express love, I don't think about what do I think my love languages are. It's more, and you pointed out, you're like, I see you walking around touching all of the people in your family. Like Will walked in, you like put your arms around him. You're like standing there hugging Nick. It's almost like an observational thing. How do I feel? And it doesn't mean that you don't value the other ones at all. It's just like, this is who I am and what I default to.
But it's problematic when the people in your orbit that you love and care about don't speak the same language that you do. So
it can be problematic if you're not aware of
correct,
it.
Correct, right? So I give differently than I receive. So for me, quality time is numero uno, followed by touch. I get uncomfortable when people give me compliments or tell me nice things. I really don't care that much about gifts. And I hate it when people do things for me. Like, oh my gosh, it drives me crazy. And my dad is very, like, does a ton of stuff for me, as does Chad. And so I have to be very cognizant of that's how they're showing love. However, I do tons of stuff for people, like the acts of service and the words of affirmation. I mean, I give all those out. Long. Yeah, all day long.
Does it ever feel imbalanced to you?
You ask this all the time. In my current relationships, like the people that I'm prioritizing now.
Do you think that's because they speak the love languages that you receive love by back to you? Or do you think they just don't let it be as lopsided? Or like, what makes it feel balanced when you have different giving than receiving?
I think it, because I'm going through the list, like it's a short list, quality time's high on all of them.
The relationship. So you're getting that.
It matches up.
Net. Yeah. Okay. You have that one in common.
Yeah.
And the other ones are like a little bit less important.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's funny. Like acts of service are huge for me. And I wonder.
In giving or receiving?
Receiving. I will give acts of service for sure.
So you want to receive acts of service?
Yes. Okay. That's how I like perceive. That's a big way that I perceive that somebody loves me. And I wonder if part of it is, like, in addition to the quality time, I wonder if part of it is the way I was raised. And my dad also is like a huge acts of service person. Like, it's so funny. My mom just the other night was like, can you ask your dad to make me a lemonade? And I was like, sure. And, you know, he was in the middle of doing something. So I was like, Dad, I'll make the lemonade for Mom. Like, you can stay sitting there. And I was like, it's two lemons, right? And he's like, lemons are just the beginning of this. That's a very small part, actually, of the equation, you know? And he has this, like, concoction that he makes for her that involves strawberries. And when you squeeze the strawberries, you need to have part of the lemon rind in there because that, like, makes the squeezer work more efficiently. And it's, like, this much stevia. And he, like, starts it in one cup and then it ends up in another cup. And, like, my whole life growing up was, like, taking care of us. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, he told us he loved us and he definitely cuddled with us. And I think he's a very loving guy and gives a lot of things. But, you know, he is the kind of guy, and I know your dad's the same way too, like, comes into town, notices I've got a light on in my car, and he, like, will go spend his whole day resolving the, like, check engine light or whatever else and feels so excited and fulfilled. Like, that's how you know it's your own love language, right? It actually, giving it fills you up too.
Totally.
So, anyway.
But interesting that we both grew up with that similar relationship, and I have an allergic reaction.
An aversion to it?
Yeah, versus you need it. But I'm really good at giving it, and it does fill me up. Like, if I do a small solid for anyone in my, like, inner circle, like, it just makes me super
makes
happy.
Makes you feel happy. I enjoy doing things for people, too. When it comes down to the day-to-day, though, like, I definitely love that Nick makes drinks for me. And I love that he, like, gets a cup and puts a water by my bed at night or, like, rubs my feet. But I enjoy doing these things for people as well. I don't know. It's a pretty cool frame to look at relationships through. And
if it's not, if the people that you love need a different... If the people that you love speak a different love language than you do, you have to be very intentional to give them what they need. Because sometimes what they need is just like a little bit and it goes a super long way. So
right.
For Chad, words of affirmation is very high on his list, which I think also too is just like general communication. So today when I was driving up here, some stuff flew off a truck and hit the car, and I texted Chad and Allison in a group text, is like, I'm not going to be able to get away with not telling them this, right?
Sure. Like, but that's worth telling somebody, especially if, like, it did cause damage and then something happened. Like, it would be good for us to have the context.
Right. So the first sentence in the text chain was, like, everything is fine, or all is okay. And when he called me to check, he's like, thank you for starting with that up front. Because that's his, like, communication is super important. And I know that that sounds a weird thing to loop in with words of affirmation, but it affirmed that I am okay.
Right? Interesting.
And that was, he was like, thank you so much for putting that first. So something that seems so small, because that's his one of his top ones.
So people who are like, have a high need for communication, that is part of a words of affirmation
for
type
sure.
Love language.
And I'm very intentional about over-communicating everything with him.
So my kids have all different love languages. And I feel like they also change over time, which is just like a little bit, I'm not going to say annoying, but it makes it challenging to keep up with.
Yours probably have changed also.
Sure. But like less as I get older, right? Like I'm changing less and they're changing constantly every day. And they also look at like, I don't know if like fairness is probably not a love language, but boy, some people value it really highly. So it's like, even if one of them doesn't have the love language of gifts, if you give a gift to one, they're growing out of this, actually. They've almost grown out of this, but it's like, the other one is like, but it's, I'm like, did you want a teddy bear? No. Then why are you upset? Because it's not fair, right? It's like they look really closely at like how they're being treated and how things are being allocated. And I've started to ask them, like, name a time when you felt like I really loved you. To help calibrate and understand, right? And, you know, Annabelle will be like, oh, when you make me like a whole beef tenderloin. Oh my God,
she brings that up a lot.
I know. She loves it. She feels seen. She feels seen. And she feels like I've done something that speaks directly to her, like, you know,
so is that little an heart's acts of desire. Service?
I think it is. I think it is acts of service. It's not quite gifts. But my girls love to make and wrap and give gifts to people. And Charlotte, especially, yeah, correct, to anyone. Charlotte, especially, I feel like is just prolific at gifting things to her friends, even, you know, within the family, yeah, for sure. But it's like, that is a big part of her love language. And I sometimes wonder how much of that is like my influence of being a gift giver. Especially when they were really little and I didn't have as much quality time to give and I didn't have as much time for acts of service, which is a whole other thing. It's like, how do you create time to participate with the person that you love? Like, if you are a workaholic, someone whose top love language is quality time is going to be like, that's going to be hard forever. Like, right? Versus if their love language is gifts, you can just buy them stuff. Sounds really bad.
No, but, I'm like thinking,
but like
my
that's
own,
a good,
like, right?
Partnership for somebody with who's like, I'm a workaholic. They need to find someone that really feels the love when they spend their earnings on, you know, a nice watch or a.
So my mom traveled a ton when I was growing up, as you know. So she was gone 3 or 4 days a week, and she would also bring me back every trip, like something super small, and that was really important to her. Like, she still talks about it. I haven't thought about it till right when we hit record. Or was you were just talking about your trips. And maybe that's why I don't care about the gifts. Because she, like, I cared about spending time with her. Mm. And, like, this was a pre-cell phone era, right? So maybe that's why I'm quality time and not gifts. I don't know.
It's so interesting. We kind of are what we are. One thing that I think about, too, it's like, okay, you figured out what somebody's love language is. They know what yours is. Okay, great. Then you have to actually like fill up the love piggy bank with their love language, right? And what I hear a lot from my friends who are struggling in their relationships, or even when I reflect on like, okay, this isn't going as well as I wanted it to, what's missing? Like, I think that because I like gave a foot rub or whatever, right? Some combination of physical touch and acts of service last night, that like we're going to be good for 5 days. No, whatever you think you need to do, like probably just 10x it, fill up the piggy bank, because somebody isn't going to feel that overflow of love and desire. Oh, I should really think about my love language and how I'm going to express love to this person until kind of their cup is overflowing. And asking for more love from people where you really have been just making withdrawals, you know, not making enough deposits, is always going to leave you feeling unloved. And they already don't feel loved enough. And it's kind of like a losing battle.
Agreed.
Do you have intentional check-ins with Chad about like whether he's feeling loved or not?
Probably more initiated by him than me.
Ah, that words of affirmation situation. Do you just assume you're loved until you're told otherwise? Like until you get a card in the mail?
I feel like very deeply loved by a lot of people. Like that, there's no doubt in my mind. So it's not something that it's never crossed my mind.
And did you become feeling loved by them spending time with you?
Probably. My mom always said that we were sweet spoiled growing up because there was just so many people around that were just always loving on us. Like I talk about my soccer games or basketball games growing up, like there were 20 people there that were cheering me on that were either blood related or the family we chose. So I never felt unloved really ever. Is that bad?
No, it's great. We don't have any need for anyone to feel unloved. But some people need to be told that they're loved, right? Or they don't feel loved. Because if words of affirmation is your thing,
right,
you actually need that verbal...
Trying to like go back in a time machine and think about a time when I wasn't, when I felt unloved. But even in like a romantic scenario that didn't work out, I was so over loved by other people that compensated for a bad breakup.
So it's like you have a collective piggy bank.
Sure.
Kind of. I mean, maybe for primary relationships, you have like individual piggy banks, but it's like you have this like big love cup that's just like constantly filled by lots of people.
Yeah. We talked about this in the...
I love that as a concept, by the way.
Well, we talked about this, I don't think it was on the podcast, but just in general, after the New York debacle of that relationship, my inner circle, unbeknownst to me, did not let me spend a night alone for more than one night. And there was just like this rotation
for
of people.
How long?
Like months.
Because your love language was like quality time.
Well, they were like, just, you know, like...
They just didn't want you to be alone.
Yeah.
So loving.
Yeah. I mean, how lucky am I?
Well, you're very lucky. You're very blessed. You are very, but I also are sweet spoiled.
I'm very sweet spoiled, but I pour a ton into those relationships.
Those
so you asked about like things being off balance, and like anything in life can be off balance at times. But when I was putting into that piggy bank for years and years and years and years and my life imploded, I got to reap all the benefits.
Do you believe that love is like a magic penny? Have you
what's
heard
a
this song?
Penny? No, what's
love
a magic
is
penny?
Like a magic penny. It's like basically the more of it you give away, the more you get.
For sure. I've never heard that term magic.
Do. Yeah. It's a cute song that kids sing, but basically to help them understand the concept that like love is not a zero sum game.
For sure.
When you give it, it doesn't mean that you have less of it. You actually end up with more, the more love that you give.
I get questions all the time of like, you have so many friends. How do you have so many friends? It's because I've loved a lot of people. I've poured a lot into those relationships intentionally, maybe too much. So I like had to like really prioritize. But even driving up here today after my little accident's a strong word, but I called two of my best friends that live with me in New York that I don't see all that often. And we talk, you know, with some regularity. And
so I think we're full circle back to the importance of love languages, because if you're inefficient in the way that you love people, it can really become a zero-sum game. If you are treating everyone in your life like their love language is quality time, you're going to be very limited in how many close friends with a like deeply loving relationship you can really have. But if you understand that for this one, gifts are really important, and for this one, words of affirmation, a quick text or check-in is important, and for this one, an act of service is important, right? Then you can really be efficient in how you are giving love and creating more love out in the world, being informed, data-driven. I know, I mean, I sound like a full-on psycho, but I do believe that this is like, you know, how you ruthlessly execute against giving love and having a very love-filled life. Well, so you mentioned a little bit ago the family you choose. So we're actually going to do a second part to this and talk about the family you choose. That's not just family that you're not blood related to, but it's also the way you choose to engage with the family that you were born with or not. Because I think sometimes people feel like family is not a choice, but I would contend, and I'm not sure what you would say, that like all your relationships are an everyday choice and how you're creating them. And the ability to create a familial relationship with anyone is like super special. So that's what we'll chat about next time. What is your Valentine's Day advice, though, for people who are looking to ruthlessly execute across the love spectrum?
I think there's probably a resounding theme as we do all of these about knowing yourself, right? First. And if you don't love yourself, no one else is going to love you either.
Really? Tell me more.
If you don't give a shit about yourself, no one else is going to give a shit about you either. It's the same thing. I just replaced give a shit with love.
Interesting. One of the things I've always thought about, especially with my kids, is the importance of me seeing them as lovable and making sure they feel that I am okay with all the things about them that are not perfect, that they would fear would be unlovable. Because if they know I can love those things in them and I can love myself, they'll have permission to love themselves the way they are too. And I think that's the hardest thing about loving people. And we won't get into all of the kinds of love, but one of my big gripes about the English language is the fact that there's just one word for love. But agape love is unconditional love. And that is the way that like real familial relationships work, right? The way I love milk is like only if it is grass-fed cows, vitamin D.
Tell me more about your love of milk.
Like, I have a lot of stipulations. Like, if milk goes rotten, I do not love it, even if it's just kind of not fresh or kind of gross or, you know, has hormones in it. But the way I love my kids is like, no matter what, forever and ever, for as much for the things that they, the areas they need to grow in, as for the ways that they were born, completely amazing and awesome. And so I think there really is something to loving yourself, not only so that other people will love you, but so that they can love themselves. And them seeing, I'm not perfect, but I accept myself. It allows them to accept themselves as imperfect as well. And so, yeah, maybe this Valentine's is about loving yourself.
But you can, knowing yourself, you can just be more informed about what you need and what you're good at, right? In terms of the language with which you speak. And are you speaking the right language to the people that you love and care about and or want to love and care about?
I love that. I say I love that a lot. I really do. I love all of this. All right. Well, that's fun. Next week, we'll talk about the family you choose and what that means for love. Maybe we'll get in a little bit to the different words for love, because I kind of...
Nerd away, my friend.
I will not hesitate to nerd away. All right. We're heading out to dinner.
Yay.
Y'all have a wonderful day. Happy Valentine's.
Happy V-Day.
Thanks for listening to Hell or High Ranch Water. Follow us on Instagram to see evidence of our latest adventures.